This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know that you're a generational chain breaker. You're ready to liberate yourself from past limitations and perspectives to manifest and quantum leap into your highest potential on your highest timeline. But sometimes you need a little support on your journey. If you're ready to live an abundant life, grounded and secure in your body and in the real world, join us here to expand your perspective and learn new tools. I'm your host, Becky Royts, a Reiki master, author, healing hairstylist, and life coach, and this is the Everyday Healing Podcast. Today, I am super, super excited to welcome a longtime friend of mine, Anastasia, who now goes by Annie. She was born and raised in the Ukraine, but moved to Canada when she was 10 years old. After working in the corporate world for 12 plus years, she made the switch to be her own boss about a year ago.
Hey!
Now she's a marketing consultant. Anastasia has over 1,000 hours of teaching under her belt. She's assisted and taught at yoga teacher trainings in Costa Rica and is one of the lead teachers of a 200-hour yoga teacher training in Ottawa. In addition to studio classes, she leads workshops, online programs, and private classes. Her focus is on bringing out people's inner strength by providing challenging classes that push the physical and mental boundaries of the student. She believes that we're all much stronger than we think and loves watching her students feel empowered and self-assured when they realize that the limitations they set for themselves are just that, self-imposed limitations. She deeply cares for all life on this planet and has a really soft spot for animals. Anastasia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super grateful that you reached out and I feel very honored. So happy to be here.
Thank you so much. I would love for you to just dive into your story about how you were led to yoga. So is it, if it was a specific moment, if it was a series of experiences, we would just love to hear your story.
It's funny because yoga has been knocking at my door since I was like 7 years old. And I completely forgot about this when I grew up, but my dad has this yoga book. And when I was seven, I lived in Ukraine and he had this tiny little book about yoga. And I remember seeing it and I would open it and I had no idea how to do these exercises or breath work or anything, but there was this part of my heart that just longed to do these things. And I was so into it and I would just scroll page after page after page. And I was like, this is so cool. And, you know, fast forward the few years and we moved to Canada and that yoga book somehow miraculously traveled with us. So it's still at my parents' place now. So that was probably my very first exposure to yoga was when I was young. Completely forgot about it. And it kept knocking at my door. You know, my best friend would practice yoga and she said, hey, do you want to come with me? And I would come to a class here and there. And then I said, ah, too boring, not for me. And then, you know, I met another girl. Do you want to come to yoga on the beach? I was like, oh, who does yoga? Lame, you know? And then there was this Instagram boom of these yoga teachers. And this happened around 2016. And my friend sent me a video. And I stumbled on this beautiful yoga teacher. Her name is Naya Rappaport. And she just had this incredible account that was showcasing her like strength and her femininity. And she was like standing on her head. And I was like, what is she doing? I was like, oh my God, this is yoga. So that kind of re-inspired me to try and, you know, try and see, can I do these things? Can I aspire to be like that? And it sounds silly because there's Instagram, but I think in that sense, it is nice to have that exposure. And so at that time, I was in a relationship that was pretty challenging and really tested my character and my strength as a character. And so all I had really was yoga. And that was kind of my pieces of confidence and my moments where I could just be with myself and give to myself. And as that relationship fell apart, after all of that was said and done, I was just left with yoga. And I threw myself fully into the practice. And there's a studio here in Ottawa, Pranashanti Yoga. I teach there now, but I actually started practicing at the studio. And so I healed through yoga. I would go to classes and I would go to power yoga or hatha yoga or aromatherapy. And I would experience it. And then I just remember crying in Shavasana, just like letting it all go and just being in this warm room in the middle of the winter, bawling my eyes out after a power class, the teacher just leaving me be, you know, it was very dramatic, very dramatic. But in that instance, I found a place where I felt safe and a space that could hold me through the things that I was going through. And that felt good. It just felt deep in my soul. And so then COVID hit and I continued to practice online. I signed up for Allo Moves and they had a bunch of teachers, specifically Naya. She was one of the teachers. And so I just started practicing and practicing and practicing. And as, you know, as COVID was going through, I kind of realized, oh my gosh, I would love to take my yoga teacher training. And as I kind of started having that thought, I also started teaching my friends. And so I would just mimic what the people were doing online. I was like, oh, I remember how Ashley did it or how Naya did it. And so I would just combine and add pieces of myself. And that's how I got to my YTT, which I took in Costa Rica. And it was quite a life-changing experience. But I'm sure we'll cover that later. But that's me and that's yoga. And yoga kept knocking and knocking and knocking. And then finally, I was ready to open the door and let the practice in.
That is a beautiful story. And it is so beautiful how it was sprinkled in, like the little nudges were there from such a young age, and that book managed to follow you, come with
it's
you.
It's still in my dad's house.
Oh, so beautiful. And yeah. it's so funny how we have so much resistance sometimes to what our soul wants us to do so badly, right? Like we just will mock it. We're like, no, that's not for me. But it's also really the type of yoga that spoke to you. And I really love that about what you mentioned about how like the spectrum is so broad, right? And like you said, so many people could see one type of yoga and just be like, that's yoga, right? It's not for me. And it's really neat that you were able to see it in a different way, even if it was just like on Instagram. It's beautiful that people can inspire us from all over the world, or even just from within our own city, right? I would love you to dive into the story of getting your yoga teacher training too, and how that evolved the practice for you.
Oh my goodness. It was the most turbulent and life-changing experience. And it wasn't just like a one-time 3 weeks, you're done and you go. The ripple effects of the lessons and of the training are still carrying on in my everyday life. And, you know, in my 20s, I was not flexible. I was not strong. I was not dedicated to my body and my wellness. I was a smoker. I was a drinker. I was a partier. I did a lot of drugs. I drank a lot. And a lot of that was masking insecurity. It was masking a lot of very deep pain, very deep hurt. Like I said, I was in a relationship. I wouldn't necessarily say that relationship is what caused the deep pain. That relationship and that choice to be in that relationship was a reflection of the pain and the lack of confidence that I was carrying. And so I was stuck in a place where I deserved much better, but I couldn't get out of it. And so when I came to this training, I was already out of that relationship, kind of on this healing journey, one of the very first kind of self awareness and self healing books I read was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and also A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And I remember going to this training, having just read A New Earth, and I thought I was healed and I thought I was good to go. I'm coming to this training. I'm just going to get my certification. I'm going to go back to Ottawa and I'm going to teach and that's it. And then I showed up to this training and all of that flew out the window. The training that I took was an intensive 21-day training. And what that means is for 21 days, you are waking up at 5 a.m. and you are either practicing or studying yoga from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. and sometimes even onwards. You get 2 days break during those 2 weeks and that's it. There is no alcohol. There is no weed. There are no drugs. There is nothing but you, a group of strangers. And although they are strangers, they are, I like to call them your soul helpers. There are these people who are like-minded, who are there seeking the same things and who have been through the same things. So it's a lot of raw and vulnerable human beings in the same space looking for something deeper in their lives. And we had a wonderful group. We had 33 amazing people, very kind, very welcoming. I did my training in Vida Asana School of Yoga in Costa Rica under my teacher, Alejandra Torres. She's just this powerhouse of a woman. And I remember so vividly, there was two instances that changed for me and that changed who I am in the training. And the first one was, I remember having a chat with my teacher and saying, oh, I don't care what people think. I'm so, and I'm this and I'm that and whatever. People's opinions don't matter. Reflecting back on that moment, I realized now that if you got to say it, it ain't it. And so I was masking this deep insecurity and deep need for attention with something that wasn't actually there. You know, I was kind of in this fake it till you make it mode. And so that part stood out a lot to me. And then the second part, where I would say this was kind of where my ego broke, was during our cacao ceremony. And we all had pulled cards. We pulled these oracle cards. And I pulled my card, and my card had the message. I don't remember the exact symbolism, but it had the message, be careful who you spend your time with. Be careful what you consume. And only speak when you have something to say. And at that time, it was like, you knew me when I walked into the room. I was the loudest. I was the most obnoxious. It was, again, it was this shield. And I saw this guard as a, whatever, like, don't care about this. And as I had my cacao ceremony and as I went through the process of drinking the cacao, of laying down to signify that rebirth and then getting up, I kind of just wanted to step into the shadows of everybody else, which was so not normal for me. And I remember just having this inability to step into the middle of the circle, to dance with everybody else. I just wanted to kind of hide in the background and allow everybody else to have their moment, which I feel like I often took away from others by taking up so much room. And I just want to say it's okay to take up space, and it is also okay to be aware when you are doing it for the wrong reasons, you know? Yep. And so I remember that night, and I had ended up finding some weed to smoke because I was a huge like addict. I was smoking every day. I would call myself a functional stoner, and I had smoked some weed and I started not feeling well. I started hearing things. I started hearing these like stomps of like a giant walking through the jungle, and I was almost like hallucinating, and I got to lay down. And so I lay down, and I kind of isolated myself from everybody. And what was going on at that point is that I was purging, and the universe was saying, I am trying to teach you a lesson. What you are doing, what you are consuming, how you are moving through life right now is not going to get you where you are meant to be. And so I woke up the next day and I felt a little bit better, and you know, I have this weed, I'll smoke it again. Second I smoked it, I started feeling paranoid, feeling not okay, getting all weird. I'm like, okay, something's going on. Set third day, do the same thing. I'm like, okay, maybe I need to stop cutting, you know, stop smoking weed. Maybe I need to cut this out of my life. When that happened, it wasn't about just stopping that habit. It was also about reevaluating how I move in the world. And a lot of the times we blame everybody else for our insecurities, our issues, our lack of ability to do certain things. And at that point, I had this realization that I have way more control over my life and I have way more power over my life just based on the choices, just based on that choice. Do I smoke weed or do I not smoke weed? Do I blame somebody else for how I'm feeling right now? Or do I look deep within and say, okay, maybe it is you who is responsible for the state that you are currently in. And I truly feel like that night, my ego broke and it just shattered. And it took a little bit of time for me to realize, okay.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Where is it that I want to go now? What do I want to do? And I completely swung the opposite way. I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. I was just focused on trying to figure out who I was without those substances. And I would say after the yoga training, that's when the real work began. Because when you're in that community and when you're surrounded by these people who are there to support you, you're removed from the society, you're removed from all of the other connections. And then you step out and then you try to navigate this new path that you stepped on. And you go, who am I now? And what parts of myself do I want to keep? And what parts of me do I want to let go? And that process continued to evolve and go on for years. And it's still going on when I try to understand, who am I now? Where do I want to be? How do I want to show up for my relationships? You know, in the 2 years post my teacher training, I struggled with finding my place with my friendships. People were used to seeing me in a certain way, and all of a sudden, I'm not what they are used to seeing. I was not okay with certain things that I was witnessing in my family dynamics. I ended up, you know, not speaking to my family for some time, which was extremely painful. And through this whole time, I have my partner who I'm with now, and, you know, he saw me one way, and then he is trying to navigate with me who I was now that I'm out of the training. And so that was a lot of things to go through and to process. But looking back at it, I wouldn't have changed it. My teacher training saved my life. I think it brought me the healing that I needed. And it also taught me that I am way more capable than I ever thought I was. It taught me strength. It taught me self-awareness. It taught me the ability to self-reflect, kindness to others, active listening, and overall, just it taught me that I'm much stronger than I thought I was.
That is amazing and beautiful. And I love how you got something totally different than what you expected going in. But yeah. Of course, it was perfectly and divinely exactly what you needed for a course correction.
You know what's crazy about it is that right before I was leaving to go to this training, I told my boyfriend, I said, I don't know what is going to happen, but I feel like I am on the edge. I had this deep sense within my soul that I was just on the edge of something, and I couldn't place my finger on it. I was like, I don't know where I'm going, what's going to happen, but something is teetering. And now looking back at it, it makes sense. It makes sense what was teetering. It was the next step, the next level up into my life. I don't know where that, maybe there will be another teeter, another step, but that was the big kind of walking off a cliff moment and just falling into the unknown.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful lesson and reminder, I feel like, for anyone listening, when they have, like, when you have that pull, even if you don't exactly know how it's going to play out, to just trust it and go for it. Because even though it may, like you said, it may be the moment that totally breaks and shatters your ego, you really have to trust when you feel that moment on the edge to really step and trust that it's going to play out exactly as it's meant to.
For sure. For sure. It takes a lot of attunement with your soul to not allow your head and your mind to dictate that decision. You know, sometimes we're just pulled in certain ways and we're like, I don't know why, but I'm just going to keep going this way. And we kind of, like you said, we have to lean into it and trust it. Because often our heart knows way, way before we put any thought into it.
Absolutely. And like you said, it can be so easy to get in our heads and to overthink it. But yeah, the more you are able to come into the body and just be with yourself and be with your intuition. And of course, you had those moments too leading up to that where you had your time inward with yourself on the mat. Like you said, even if it was processing emotion and just laying there and crying, it was still allowing yourself to really feel what needed to be felt in the body.
Move it through. You know, you gotta get it out of your system and move it through. And I think that's why yoga is so wonderful, is it's such a spiritual practice as well as a physical practice. And that physical practice helps unlock certain parts of the body and helps move energy through some of the parts of the body where we store so much of our trauma and so much of unspoken pain. Typically, it'll be the shoulders, the chest, and of course, everybody has heard the hips. Mm-hmm. For me, it's definitely the chest and the shoulders. And so if you are ever doing something physical and you notice uncomfortable sensations coming up, that is a sign that something is moving through you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you for that. Thanks. I would love for you to give us a little idea of what all of this learning, this is integrated to look like into your everyday life now, like whether that be your mindset, how your relationships are now versus how they were before, what your spirituality or your healing looks like, or just like moving through everyday challenges.
I would love to share that. And I just want to preface it, is that it is an ever evolving path. Who I was when I first stepped out of the training and who I am now is also an evolved version. Mm-hmm. And I would say the very first thing that always comes to my mind is I learned how much strength I actually have and how much our mind plays games and tricks on us. And I see this a lot in my students when they say, oh, I can't do that. And we tell ourselves I can't do that without even trying. We say, no, I'm not capable. And you're like, well, why? You know, so the first, I would say, biggest change for me was true courage to go out and go after the things that I want. I was always in the corporate world. I was constantly doing that 9 to 5. You got to have the benefits. You have to make sure you have your salary. That is the safest option. You are not going to be successful or happy any other way. And then after doing that training, I kind of realized there is so much more to life. And I said, this doesn't seem right. And you have the courage to then go ahead and say, well, I know what's on this side and I can always come back to this side. Mm-hmm. But when I am on the deathbed, I'm not going to say, oh my goodness, I wish I didn't quit that job when I was 30. What you're going to say is, I wish that I had taken that leap of faith and tried something different and went after something that my heart desires. So that would be the main thing. Now, like, I had this fake confidence. I had this loud fake confidence before that people would look and, oh yeah, she's confident and she's a little obnoxious, but she's confident. I would say now that there's a quiet confidence. There's this true knowing who I am. And I am still the same person. I am still my spicy self. And I love to twerk and I like to have fun, you know. But it is toned down. And it is a quiet confidence that nobody can shake. So that was the biggest thing. The second thing is evaluating my relationships and how I show up in my relationships. And not only is that judging myself and saying, oh, why do you do that? But it's exploring how my trauma when I was younger and how everything I experienced when I was younger, how it impacts how I perceive my relationships. And right away, when we come out of this yoga teacher training or we start doing any spiritual practices, and you might have seen this on Instagram, is people who say, who like to sit down and say, ah, I figured it out. Let me tell you, you know? And there is this book. It's about Shaiva Tantra Yoga. And it is called The Recognition Sutras. It is by Christopher B. Wallace. And in it, he talks about spiritual immaturity. And what that is we take on some new knowledge. We take on some spiritual teachings that the rest of our family and friends have not been exposed to. And then we come in on this moral high ground and we go, we know better than you. And you need to change. And when I first came out of the training, I was like that too. Oh, you gossip too much. You do this too much. You do that too much. You still smoke. You still drink. And I don't do that anymore. And after going through this few years of looking at that behavior and saying, this isn't working for me. I don't feel closer to the people I love. I feel more isolated. Something's not right here. And so the biggest shift for me, I would say, has been how do I love unconditionally? Of course, in the parameters of not causing harm to myself, but how do I love unconditionally and how do I make an impact in people's lives in a way that is not by speaking, but by example? So if I see chaos in my parents' house, rather than coming in and stepping in and becoming that chaos, how can I become the point of stillness and the point of peace for everybody? When my friends are, you know, busy and not reaching out to me and not making plans, how do I facilitate our connection and how do I see them from a place of empathy? So that was a huge shift for me, is rather than expecting things out of people, I learned how do I love my people better. I would say those are the main two things. And of course, the practices, yoga is ingrained in my life. Like if I don't practice yoga, and when I say practice yoga, that means breath work and meditation, as well as my physical asanas, I go a little loopy. I start to disconnect from my body. I notice that I don't breathe the same and I feel that tensity. And so there is this constant awareness of the body, of the mind that I've been able to develop because of yoga. I see my thoughts before they come out of my mouth. Not all the time. Like sometimes I still say something like, oh my God, why you say that?
Right?
But then that ability to self-reflect in a second is something I didn't have before. And when we are able to watch our thoughts and then create this pause between the thought and how we're going to act on that thought, that, in my opinion, is true power. That is like, that's a superpower.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm continuing to develop that superpower, but I feel like I've honed that skill a little bit more since coming out of my training.
Beautiful. And you were talking about your like doing yoga, breathwork, meditation every day. Do you have a specific everyday practice that you follow, or would you say that it changes?
I practice Wim Hof breathing every day. I do the 30 big inhales, hold as long as you can, you know, on the exhale, and then hold for 15 seconds. Now, that does take time, and I would say that takes about 10 to 15 minutes. If I'm really in a pinch and I don't have the time to do Wim Hof because of my schedule, anywhere you are, inhale six, exhale six. Inhale for six Mississippis, exhale for six Mississippis. It is the optimal breath. If you've ever read Breath by James Nestor, optimal breath is 5.5 seconds in and 5.5 seconds out. Six Mississippis out. You can do it anywhere while you're sitting in a doctor's office, while you're driving, in your shower. And it just helps you notice the only thing that matters in that time and the only thing that is actually happening is your exchange of breath in and out.
What a beautiful tool. What a beautiful tool. What other lesson or advice would you give the listeners that yoga has taught you about life or healing?
I would say I have two, definitely. And the very first one, and they can be seen kind of contradictory, but I will still say them. The very first one is self-discipline is the biggest form of self-love. So if you are not showing up for yourself and the promises you made for yourself, you're not loving yourself well. There's a story about a woman and her friend. And her friend asks her for a coffee. And she says, yeah, let's meet up on Wednesday for a coffee. Wednesday comes around. She messages her friend an hour before and says, look, I'm so busy today. I've had a crazy day. I can't show up for this coffee. Okay, no problem. It happens. Let's reschedule for next week. Okay, let's reschedule. Next Wednesday comes around. Again, this woman goes, I'm so sorry. I cannot show up for this coffee. I can't do it. Her friend goes, okay, no problem. I understand. Third week comes, same thing. Fourth week comes, same thing. Fifth week comes, same thing. And then on the sixth week, the friend says, you know what? I don't want to go for coffee with you anymore. Every time you make plans with me, I don't trust you anymore. This is not the kind of friend that I want in my life. And so the friend says, no, thank you. We do the same thing to ourselves every single week. Oh, I'll show up. I'll go for that walk. You don't go for the walk. I'll go to the gym. You don't go for the gym. Hold yourself accountable to show yourself that you love yourself. Show up for yourself. That is number one. Through that, you will learn that you are much stronger than you think. And that is the very biggest lesson I want all of my students to feel is that, okay, show up, try, and realize you are capable of way more than you think. And then number two is, and it's so contradictory, but go easy on yourself. And when I say go easy on yourself, I don't mean just give up altogether and don't show up at all, but I mean, as you are self-disciplining yourself, do it in a way that is gentle and that is intuitive. We often think that we need more movement. We need more going to the gym. We need more. We need to do more to be better. And we don't often give ourselves the space to sit and just relax. And so while you are self-disciplining yourself to push further, also self-discipline to calm down and take a step back. So find a balance in both. I think this lesson came from Tara Brach. She's a meditation teacher, a Buddhist teacher. Also, she is a psychologist. And she talks about having radical acceptance of yourself, of watching your human experience and then accepting yourself however you are without judgment. And it is only from that place of acceptance can we actually take any steps to change for anything. So let yourself be a human, accept your human experience, and then get your shit and, you know, get your shit together and do your thing.
Yeah.
When the time is right.
I love both of those. And the thing that it came to mind when you were saying that too is, I know that they, like when you said they seem contradictory, but really there is a really big difference between tuning in and taking the time to be in stillness with yourself to actually rest, and what I think a lot of society deems rest, which is really like dissociating.
Yes.
Right. So not really contradictory at all. It's just seems contradictory if you're actually not taking the time to really allow yourself to deeply rest and to nourish like your mind, body, and spirit, which is
For
what I
sure.
think you were getting at. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. It's this, you know, self-discipline yourself with love. Right? Know that sometimes I have a tendency to push myself. I do Ashtanga yoga and it's very competitive. And for the first year after my training, I was like, I have to be better. Like my identity became tied around my physical ability to do asanas, to the point that I got injured many different ways, many different times. And so I was forced to take a step back, and I was forced to tune into my body and listen and say, do I really need this today? Or do I need to sleep? Do I need to rest? Do I need to breathe? Do I need to meditate? And then come back to it stronger the next day. Like, why are we doing this? Am I doing this to feed my ego, or am I doing this to feed my soul?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the perfect question to ask. So please tell our listeners where they can find you and what your current offerings are, because I'm sure at this point everyone is like, oh my God, where is Anastasia and how do I get in touch with her?
For sure. I'm very active on Instagram. I post a lot of yoga tips and share pieces of the wisdom I have learned. So you can find me on Instagram at Annie Bonanni. So AnnieBonannie, Annie Bonanni.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I do have a couple videos on YouTube at Bhakti Being Yoga. And then you can find me in studios in Ottawa at Pranashanti Yoga or Studio Aura Yoga.
Thank you so freaking much for taking this time to do this with me today. It seriously has been so beautiful. And I know that anyone who has the pleasure of listening to this episode is just going to get so much beautiful wisdom and information from it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. And I really hope that, you know, if somebody can take even one little nugget of information and that can help them in their day, I feel like my job here is done.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening with us today. And I will talk to you on the next episode.